thy works, O Lord, how matchless is thy name. The heavens and earth are filled with your power and the glory of your grace. I will lift my voice in praise to you through all eternity. Jesus, everlasting life to me. For all the world to see, Jesus, everlasting light to me.
In Hebrews chapter 4, Paul is admonishing us that we should leave no stone unturned in our quest to enter into the rest of God. The gospel has been preached. We've received good tidings from heaven about a place of rest, a place of glory, a place of dominion. The rest of God is the inheritance of the saints. It is the inheritance of those who hearken to the call. So we are admonished to take the words that we hear seriously. See, these are things that you don't joke with. They are things that you hold on to seriously. See, there are two generations. There's a generation that is ascending up into glory, ascending up into the rest of God. While there's a creation, there's another generation of people that is sinking down into the abyss of destruction, sinking down into the pit of hell, being veiled daily, carried away by the lies of this present world. And as long as we do not receive the gospel with gratitude and obey the gospel, there is no way we can find the rest of God. Like we read further in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest as himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. This is the rest for the people of God, for God's generation. It's the people of God, it's not men. It's the congregation of God that inherits the rest of God. This one sees from their works as God sees from his work. The ones that enter the rest also sees from their works the way God sees from his own works. And we know that God sees from his works, like we saw in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and entered his own rest. The rest is seen on the seventh day, the Sabbath, where God blessed it. And God rested from his works. We've established from the two earlier recordings that God mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 simply an allegory of you and I. Said, there is one in you, the greater in you, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The one in you, your true identity, your true self, is Christ in you, the Son of God, who is one with God. That is the Lord himself. See, we have to awaken within us and begin to do the works of God, to enter into the rest of God. That which enters into the rest of God is God. See, that which enters into God's kingdom is God. That is which enters into the man's kingdom is man. That which is of this world is of the world. That which is of God's world is of God. That is why we need to be transformed, because you know, in our states as human beings, we cannot enter into God's kingdom. We cannot enter into the rest, because that rest of God is found in God's kingdom. The rest of God is found in God's creation, in God's realm, in God's presence. And that is the realm Jesus walked in. That is why he could make confessions like, I am not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. You see, he was living in another world. A world different from the world and the realm that men walk in. Even though he had his physical members, his bodies upon the earth, what we were beholding is a spiritual being. He was living in another realm, in a spiritual kingdom, in another dimension. And that is God's kingdom, that is God's realm. He was living in the heavens, in heavenly places. Praise God. And we are discovering that the new creation of God, where we find rest, is all embedded in Christ Jesus. Because this is the kingdom of God's dear Son. Only Christ inherits God's kingdom. And I've said Christ is simply God manifesting himself as a man. See, all that you have in God's kingdom is God. Praise God. And we know by now that Christ is not a man. Paul calls him the Lord from heaven. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It was simply an embodiment of God. Like we read in John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, Christ Jesus is the true God and the eternal life. The true God, the only God, the true God and eternal life. That is Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The fullness and the totality of what God is embodied in Christ. It is him that we have our consolation and our rest. Praise God. That's why he says that in the world you have tribulation. In the world you have tribulation, but in Christ you overcome the world. You overcome the world with its tribulations and its anguish of soul and all these things that men suffer. Now, quickly turn to the book of John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In the world you have tribulation. In me you have peace. In Christ you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. See, the world talks about the lower realm or the dimension which men walk in. Men who walk according to the natural senses, according to sight. See, who are governed by their natural senses. Men who cannot see beyond the natural. Men who identify themselves with the flesh. That is the world. And the world does not know God. See it. The world does not know God. The natural carnal man does not know God. See it. You cannot walk as a natural carnal man of flesh and blood and at the same time as walk as Christ Jesus. See, we're seeing two different personalities here. The man of the flesh, the man of this world is one. The man of the Spirit, which is Christ, is the man from God's kingdom. That's another creation entirely. You cannot be in this world and be a man of the flesh and at the same time be a man of the Spirit and, you know, be in God's kingdom. You cannot have the two identities. Either you are a man of the Spirit or you are a man of the flesh. And as long as we live as men, walking about in carnality, we cannot, you know, enjoy the peace of God. We cannot inherit God's kingdom. We cannot see the rest of God. We cannot see glory and dominion as long as we walk, you know, in the world as flesh and blood. We must be converted. We must be found in Christ. We must be found in that true celestial spiritual being called Christ. This is what the whole born-again process is. See, if we are to escape the tribulation of this world, the tribulation, the anguish of soul, the worries of humanities, the fears, see, the torments, the sicknesses, the diseases, all these things that we see in this world, we must be found in Christ. And this is what the whole gospel is. The whole gospel is all about, you know, awakening us to the truth and the reality of Christ. See it? The gospel is a wake-up call, calling people to awaken in Christ, to put on Christ, the new man. The gospel brings a revelation of Christ in you. It brings a revelation of your true celestial being, your true celestial image. It brings a revelation of your God-like nature, divinity that is locked up within you. That is the let there be light. That is let there be light in you. See, if you don't have a revelation that you are like God, that you have the characteristics of God, the incorruptible, immortal characteristics of God within you, if you do not know this truth, it means your understanding is darkened. So the gospel, like light, is shining, causing us to awaken to this reality. Praise God. So our rest is found only in Christ. So the work that we perform with the aid of the Spirit of God, in union with God, in God consciousness, that work which we do is to allow ourselves to be converted, to be transformed from creatures of the earth to celestial creatures once more. That we are converted from being men of the dust into that man which is of the Spirit. Praise God. This is all the gospel. What the gospel is all about is that we submit ourselves in Christ. We begin to walk once more in truth. Walk once more as sons of God, whom we truly are. Praise God. So all that thing we see in Genesis chapter 1 is a walking of God within man to bring about that perfect creation. See, these are the works that we must do to enter our rest. See, by the time the work is finished, and we have, you know, endured unto the end, finished the race, we can say without any shadow of doubt that I and the Father are one. See, this is the truth. I and the Father are one. I and God are one. If you see me, you've seen God. Now, you might have this revelation initially, and we might not be able to function totally in this revelation. See it? You might have this revelation within you, but you might not have arrived the place of maturity where you function in the total liberty as the sons of as the Son of God. So your work and all that you go forth to do is to bring forth this maturity, is to bring about this maturity of the seed of Christ in you. We're going to browse over the creation again. Now, the creation in Genesis chapter 1 is very rich. It's something that can never be exhausted, because God always reveals and unveils and unveils and unveils mysteries, that we see the manifold wisdom of God right here in Genesis chapter 1. See it? when we were born, when we entered into this world, religion and our parents taught us that God created the world in 7 days. The first day he created this and he slept. The second day he created this, he slept. He woke up the next morning, you know. And we are beginning to understand now that that is not true. See it? All this work here is something that must be fulfilled in us. We who are to inherit glory. We who are to escape the powers of death. We who are to escape the pangs of hell. And to enter into God's kingdom, where we find the rest for our souls. See, that is the working that we all have to work within us. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Patience. Patience, conforming ourselves daily. See, our work is to conform ourselves to the image of Christ. There has to be a conformation, a changing in our mind, in the way we think. In the way we, you know, perceive the creation, in the way we walk, everything has to be changed from that of the outer man of the flesh to that of the inner man of the spirit. Then we find the peace we are seeking. Then we find the rest we are seeking. Then we find God's garden, you know, the place of life, you know, the bustling with life, hallelujah, and beauty. Praise God. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Yesterday we talked about God commanding light to shine, which we already explained that light is the understanding, the gospel. That light is the understanding, the comprehension, you know. You see it? That we are the image of this, you know, of the living God. We are the glory of God. See it? We are celestial spiritual beings. We are like God in the heavens. See it? All things in heaven and earth belong to us. We inherit all things. See it? The life of God is ours. Everything that is God is ours. The light unveils the truth and dispels the darkness in our hearts. See, concerning all our attachments to this temporary entity called the world. See it? The earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. He talks about the, you know, the impoverished state of man as he walks in ignorance. He talks about the hellish state. The troubled state. He talks about the soul in tribulation. Walking in torment, in fear, anxiety. Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual blindness. In nakedness. Hopelessness. In a desert situation. In vanity. That is where we walk when we walk as men. See it. When we are carried away with the lusts of this present age, the illusion, see that you can get some kind of satisfaction by gathering onto yourself. See it. Our satisfaction is, we get true satisfaction only when we realize, when we are waking to the fact that the way he is the way we are. When we are waking to the fact that we are sons of God, that we are not mortal beings, that is where you get your peace and your satisfaction. That is where you have your dominion. Praise God. So the light is shining now. See, the light is shining and we're hearing the voice of the Father. The truth is coming forth, revealing who we are. Praise God. All we need to do is to believe. Hear the gospel and believe. Believe that Christ is the only creature of God. Christ is the one. And live according to Christ. Live according to the inner man. If not, you perish away. like the world. You are swept away. See it into the depths of hell, like the rest of the world is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's quickly read something. I want to show you something Jesus says in John chapter 8. Verse 23 and 24. John chapter 8, verse 23 and 24. It says, "And he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." See it. "I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, if you do not believe that I am he. You shall die in your sins." See, you shall die in your sins. You shall die as men. If you do not believe the gospel, which says that the way he is the way you are. If you do not believe the gospel that you are in the image of God, that you are Christ. If you don't comprehend this secret, that you are the son of the living God, the invisible God, you will die in your sins and your trespasses. You will die in your sins. You will perish away like men perish. The gospel is here to cause you to believe and be saved. Believe in Christ, not in Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. No. Believe in Christ in you. Oh, hallelujah. Believe that you are formed and created in the image of God to rule and to reign in one with God. Believe and walk in this new revelation. That is all it requires. That is where you find your rest. That is where you find eternal life. That is where you will escape the powers of death. Believe that I am him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to this Father except by me, by Christ. Believe that you are Christ. Awake and walk in that reality. That you are Christ. That you are not of this material world, but you are the heavens. The spiritual world of God. Oh God, hallelujah. You that receive this gospel now have to do your works like God to enter your rest. Because your rest is in finding yourself in him. Like I told you, this is not one day's work. It's not something. You might have the revelation. You might have this deep revelation of Christ in you, the kingdom of God in you. But you have to now, with the tools available to you, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So that you can now truly inherit eternal life. See, you don't want to be like the seed that drops on a rock, or the seed that drops on thorns, or the seed, you know, that the birds, you know, just eat, devour. You don't want to be like those who hear the gospel and forget. You don't want to be like those who hear the gospel, you know, and at a point in time they cannot continue on. We want to be like those who carry on to the end. You see, so that we are saved and we walk in the glory of God. So that we inherit eternal life. See, so we have to work out our faith. Work out our faith. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Ensuring that we enter the rest of God. Genesis chapter 1. Now I'm going to move on to the second day of the creation of God. The second day, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, like I said, these are works that are all occurring within us. These are things that must occur within us for us to find that paradise of God, where we find refreshing and rest. Praise God. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. "Let there be a firmament meant in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament and the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." Praise God. What is God doing here? See it? He's dividing a people here. He's creating a people here. See, there were waters that were gathered underneath the heavens. These are the waters upon the earth. And he now gathered some waters above the firmament. What is he trying to talk about? What are these waters above the firmament? What are these waters, you know, which are above in the heavens, above the heavens? What are these waters? He's talking about the clouds of God. The clouds of God. These are the ones above the firmaments. These are the ones above the heavens, the clouds of God. See, when you talk of clouds of God, we're not just talking about physical clouds out there. Because what we are seeing out there is simply a mapping to that which is spiritual. Praise God. See, the cloud, we can say, is energized form of water. The cloud is normally vapor, energized form of water. See it? And on the second day, God gathered the waters, some waters that were underneath the firmament, and gathered them above the firmament. And we know these are the clouds. What is he talking about? See, it is all the same mystery of the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets sounding and we being caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. Because the cloud simply represents God's glory, which as we know is Christ. Man, the cloud represents the spiritual personality, the celestial personality of Christ. So we are being gathered from the earth into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the work that God is doing in our lives right now. This is the work we are performing in our lives right now. Spiritualizing ourselves. So that we become the glory of God. Even Jesus himself, at the end of his ministry, he was caught up in that same cloud. And we know that same cloud is the cloud in which God appears throughout the scriptures. When the children of Israel, you know, were in the wilderness, God normally will appear in that cloud. When God descended upon Mount Sinai to meet with the children of Israel, he was in that cloud. When God spoke to Moses in the holies of holies, he was in that cloud. When God spoke, to Jesus and to the disciples upon the mountain of transfiguration, he was in that cloud. When God descended into the temple of Solomon after its dedication, he was in that cloud. The cloud represents the body of God. God is always, you know, wherever that cloud is, God is always present. And wherever God is, that cloud is always present. They are inseparable. Amen. That Christ, that cloud represents Christ, the body of Christ, which is actually the celestial body of Christ. It's a gathering of the waters. Who talks of nations, tongues, you know, people, innumerable, you know, company of people into that body of Christ, which is a celestial body. These are the clouds of heaven. These are the chariots of God. When God appears, he appears riding upon this chariot. Praise God. So we are being converted, you know, from our earthly states to becoming the clouds of God. See, those that are born again of the Spirit are those driven by the wind. Those that are born of the Spirit, you don't know where they're coming from, where they're going. It's like the wind. Amen. We are wind. We are clouds. So we have to allow the Spirit of God transform us. Transform us. See, this thing comes by our hearing the truth, hearing the last trumpet, and allowing the truth to take a hold on us. Paul says in the letter to the Thessalonians, at the sounding of the last trumpet, we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. Amen. We shall be with the Lord forever. We are caught up into that eternal body of Christ. And there shall we be forever. He has come to gather us into Christ. In the transgression, we fell out of Christ. That's why we find ourselves in the world, in tribulation. Now he's coming to gather us back into Christ, which is the clouds of heaven. Amen. So our work is to put on the single eye. Our work is to open our ears to hear the trumpet as it sounds. So that we can be lifted up from the miry clay of human living and find ourselves back among the clouds of heaven in that celestial spiritual body of God. That is where we find the rest for our souls. Praise God. That is where we find the Garden of Eden. Adam was in that cloud. Hallelujah. He was covered in that cloud. Amen. That's why he was not naked. He was covered in the glory cloud of God. His life was hid in God, in Christ, in God. That's where he saw the paradise of God. Praise God. So we have to exercise ourselves in spirituality, exercise ourselves in the things of God, in the things of divinity. No more walking as men. Begin to understand where we belong. You know? We belong to another world, another realm, above. Christ Jesus says, I am from above. You know, I'm above, you are beneath. Isn't that what he says? In John chapter 8, he says, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. You have to project yourselves by faith, walking in God's kingdom. Something that you start to do right now by faith. See it. And in due season, you will discover yourself ruling and reigning in Christ, walking in that realm as the clouds of heaven. So we are seeing what it means to be gathered in the clouds of God. We are seeing what God was doing on the second day when he separated the waters from the waters. See, we are the ones being taken out of this world by the revelation of the truth. We are being quickened, hallelujah, by the life of God. So that we become clouds of God. We ascend to meet the Lord in the air and become one with the Lord in the air. Praise God. This is something that happens individually in your lives. You don't have to look outside to look at what is happening to the other brother. Let this work happen in your life. Praise God. In him you find rest. In the world you find tribulation. Above you find rest. Beneath you find tribulation. Praise God. See, the Bible is so simple. All we have to do is to sit down and let the Spirit of God teach us. Amen. Now we're going to move on to the fourth day. I'll skip the third day. We'll skip that for another time. Look at the fourth day and let us see what God did. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Praise God. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was what? It was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Amen. We're now seeing the creation of another group of objects here. God is talking about the creation of the heavenly bodies here. And, you know, he's talking about the creation of the stars, the sun, the moon. See it? The sun actually is that which rules over the day. And the moon is that which rules over the night. How does it apply to us? In one of the parables of Jesus Christ says that the righteous shall shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Like the sun in their Father's kingdom. That's how the righteous will shine. Like the sun in their Father's kingdom. When you look at the sun, there is no trace of darkness in the sun. See, the sun is the source of light for this world. The sun is that which gives daylight upon the earth. The sun is the true light by which we walk in this world, in this natural physical world. Whereas the moon, which is of the night, derives its light from the sun and transmits that light to the earth during the night. And we know that there are two generations of people. There is a generation of the night and the generation of the day. See, we who are getting the revelation of Christ are of the day. And when you walk in the day, you see things plainly, clearly. And there is no stumbling unto death. See, Paul said that we are of the day, not of the night. Those that drink, those that are drunken. See, those that walk in the flesh, according to the lusts of the flesh, are of the night. These are those who walk according to their natural carnal instincts. They are of the night. They are of the world. See, but we who get the revelation of Christ, we who are being called out of the darkness of this world, are of the day. Praise God. We are of the day because we walk in the truth, undiluted truth. Those who walk in the night are those who walk in the lie. See it? The moon, which represents the carnal mind, receives from God and transmits it for the use of carnal purposes. Just think of it. All the inventions of men, all the works of men, is geared towards improving their lives upon the earth, immortalizing themselves, gaining the world. Isn't it? It's all about gaining the world, improving their lives in this world. It's all about, you know, increasing their self-existence after the flesh. That is all the inventions and the thought of man goes to what? The man sees only the natural world. He sees only the natural creation. Because his mind is what? Is darkened by the prince of this world. He's darkened by the moon. He does not receive the truth. He only receives something that is transmitted, that is converted, is translated. He does not receive that original light that is from God. So that's why he walks in the night and he stumbles. He stumbles into death, thinking he's wise, you know. He becomes a fool. He stumbles into death. But those who receive the spiritual mind of Christ, those who receive the mind of Christ and do receive their edification, their intelligence directly from the source of all light, which is from God, are those who walk in the day. They walk in the spirit. They walk in the real world. See it? Those who walk in the night walk in a dream world. They walk in relation to vanity. And therefore, they stumble onto death and misery. But those who receive the true light are those who put on the mind of Christ. Praise God. And these ones will never stumble. When John the Apostle saw the new Jerusalem, he saw a new city that was littered up with the glory of God. There was no night. There is no night in the city. There is no night in the new creation of God. Because it is littered up continuously by the light of God, which, like I said, is the sun. God is the source of all light. Praise God. God is the source of all light. He's the source of all life. That life is in Christ. It's in, embedded in Christ, the Son of God. And it's only as we hook up with Christ in the spirit, it's only as we put on the spiritual mind of Christ and begin to look on the creation with a spiritual mind, that we can find the desired rest for our souls, that we can enter into the city of the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, God's kingdom, where we find rest for our souls. Praise God. When you read things like this, you know, the creation, like the creation on the fourth day, is simply telling you to put on the mind of Christ. Begin to walk by the intelligence that comes from the Spirit. No more according to the vanity, you know, that is in the mind, the natural mind, like the Gentiles walk. See, the Gentiles only see and perceive the creation after the natural senses. They cannot see beyond that. See, and the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusted in the arm of flesh. See, cursed is the man that trusted in the arm of flesh. See, it shall be a wasteland. Let's quickly turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man, and maketh his, you know, his, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see good when he cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, that hopeth, that whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Praise God. Now let's stop there. Now you can see trusting in man is simply putting your trust in the intelligence derived from the natural man. See, we have to begin to live by that which comes from God. Live by the mind of Christ. If we want to find true fruitfulness and rest for our souls. If we want to be fruitful in all that we do. If we want to escape, you know, the life of the unfruitful man of the flesh. If we want to escape death, we must put on the mind of Christ. We must begin to walk by the true light, by the revelation light that comes from God. We must begin to walk by the mind of God, perceiving the creation the way God perceives the creation, which is purely spiritual. See, the elements we see in this world are supposed to teach you. They are supposed to remind you of the, you know, the realm of the spirit. See, they are not just there like that. They are there to, you know, to express the deep things of God for you. It reveals the invisible things of God. They are like mappings to the spiritual world of God. So we must receive the Spirit of God. We must receive the mind of God. We must receive intelligence from the Son, which represents the undiluted truth, the undiluted truth of God. And as we do this, walking in the light as He is in the light, we are purified. See, we become like the stars of heaven. See, the stars are above. They are celestial, you know, objects, celestial bodies. They are light bodies. We become light like our Father is light. He says, walk in the light while you have the light, that you may become sons of the light. We are sons of the light when we, you know, see things according to the mind of God. When we walk according to the true, pure, revelational light that comes from the Father. No more walking according to carnality. Praise God. When we exercise ourselves in godliness, walking in the Spirit, we become the very stars of God, ruling and reigning in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The stars represent kings seated upon the throne, high above all principalities and powers, where troubles of this world cannot reach them. See it? Your wars, your influencers, your, what they call it, your pandemics, endemics, and all your you see, your job crisis, your financial crisis, your arguments, your bitterness, and all the things that we see in this world cannot affect the stars that are high above there. They remain there unmovable from age to age. Nothing can tamper with their peace. That is how God raises us up far above all principalities and powers. When we walk faithfully in Christ, that is our exaltation. When we rediscover ourselves in Christ, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is how it happens. Simply as we spiritualize ourselves, walk in the Spirit, so that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, it's only as we walk in the Spirit that we can purify ourselves, that we can be pure as He is pure, that we can become pure like bodies. Isn't it the promise in the Bible that to him that overcometh, I will give him the morning star? You see this in Revelations chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he will rule them, you know, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. I just read Revelation chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. See it? I will give him the morning star. See it? And we know Christ himself is the morning star. You see this in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. He is the morning star. He is the star of God. See it? We are being converted to becoming the stars of God, where we rule and reign with Christ. Amen. Being a star body means there is no trace of darkness in you, no carnality in you. It means that you are high above all principalities and powers. You are not of this world beneath, but you are of the world above. That is where you find your rest. See, that is the realm that nothing that defies or makes a lie can arrive, can ever touch, can ever come to. It's a place where the offenses of this age can't reach you. Wickedness can't get there. You know, the hate and the bitterness and all the things we see here underneath the world can't get to you over there. You are far above all principalities and powers. You are far above a sin consciousness. You are far above a corruptible nature. You are far above the weak nature of the man of the dust. You are liberated totally. And you walk fully as a son of God in the liberty and in the glory of the sons of God. So we have to keep our work, the works of Christ, to the end. See, keep the works of Christ to the end by allowing the truth take a hold of us. By walking in the revelation of who we truly are. By walking in the spirit, no more according to the flesh. See, by changing, you know, transforming our mind daily to see the creation the way God sees the creation. To walk the way what God walks. Praise God. Then we find ourselves among the stars of heaven. Then we find the rest of God. See, God is teaching us how to rest, how we can come into rest. How we can overcome the tribulation of humanity and enter his rest. This is done principally by spiritualizing ourselves. We have to let go of the outer man. Let go of the life upon the earth. And put on Christ. Walk in newness of life daily. This is our meditation and our groaning. This is the only way to life. There is no other way but to let go of this life here and take a hold of the life in Christ Jesus. Amen.